Before we begin today's podcast, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Covaris. Covaris is reinventing what you expect from a medical professional liability provider. By leveraging claims data and analytics, Covaris is helping doctors and administrators reduce distractions and focus on improving outcomes. Learn more at covaris.com/focus.
This is Scott Beckner with the Beckner's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by the CEO of Capital Region Medical Center, Gaspar Calvaruso. Gaspar, we're going to talk about Capital Region, we'll talk about priorities, advice for leaders, and a little bit more. Can you take a moment, Gaspar, and introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. Thank you for asking me to be a part of this podcast. My name is Gaspar Calvaruso. I'm the president of Capital Region Medical Center here in Jefferson City, Missouri. We're the state capital, town of about 50,000 people. Our service area is about 100,000. We're about 30 miles away from Columbia, Missouri.
And talk about your journey to leadership, your journey to being CEO in your career, just a little bit for our audience.
Well, it's a good question, and I'm not your typical CEO. I actually started my career wanting to be a school teacher, and somehow kind of diverted into the insurance industry. And so I got my start working in managed care back in the 1990s when managed care was really starting to take a foothold. And I started having some success there and started liking kind of working with physicians and hospitals. And so kind of put my teaching on hold and then started kind of down that pathway, which led me to working with in hospitals as a PHO director for several years, and then eventually running medical groups, and then led me to hospital administration for the past 12 years of my career.
So many of the great CEOs I get to speak to, I spoke recently to seeing him, Donovan Blackburn, he came from outside of healthcare and ended up CEOs in healthcare. Do you think the perspective of looking at things from a different lens sometimes can be helpful to leadership?
Oh, definitely. My perspective now, I've been in healthcare for so long that that probably I've lost a little bit of that outside perspective. But certainly, I think anytime we have new individuals in our organization, especially if they're from a different line of work, especially, we try to take advantage of their first 180 days or so, because they're looking at things a lot differently than we are. And there's a lot of similarities, I would say, in the industries. I'm sure you participate in some other boards, and I'm sure some of the people who might be listening to this podcast, the similarities in banking and higher education, lots of regulation, lots of move to virtual type of platforms, and in a lot of respects, the other industries outside of healthcare have gotten there quicker, if you will. So definitely a big advantage, I think.
And obviously, so many of the great leaders have been homegrown in healthcare as well, doctors, nurses, and others. So it's a great mix, but it is great to hear other perspectives. Capital Region Medical Center. Talk to us about Capital Region and maybe a few points of pride in the medical center.
Sure. We are a 100-bed hospital located, again, in Jefferson City, the state capital. What's interesting about Capital Region is that it's, we are in the middle of rural, America, and it is certainly rural medicine, but we have an open heart program. We do total joints here. We also have a large medical group for our size facility. We have, we have the largest medical group in Jefferson City, about 140 providers in our medical group, and our medical group spans about 8 counties. Take Jefferson City and kind of do a 50-mile radius around Jefferson City, and that's kind of our catchment area, and that's where we have our footprint. Capital Region is a high quality institution. We've received really great grades from Leapfrog and Health Grades. We recently just received a couple of accolades for our STEMI program as well as our stroke program. And we recently, Health Grades announced us as one of the top orthopedic hospitals in the state of Missouri.
Congratulations. In rural healthcare, it seems like, as in the rest of America, there's this great divide of those rural health systems and clinics that are thriving and those that are really struggling. What is the differentiator? Is the differentiator just the amount of money in the area that could support a system, the amount of population? Is the difference how people manage them? Is it the ability to recruit physicians and talent? Why is there this great divide? I mean, there's obviously struggles throughout rural healthcare in America and rural communities, but why do you see, I talk to so many critical access hospitals and rural hospitals that are thriving in a time where you think everything is failing, and then you talk to some that are really struggling. What is the differentiator?
It's a great question, Scott. And we're not a critical access hospital, so we're larger in that. But we do have some competition. There's another hospital in our community, and I think there's a couple reasons, and you touched upon some of them. Well, first and foremost, I think having a strong medical group is key. Healthcare today versus, like, say, 80s and 90s, way back when, you know, when physicians used to hang their shingle, it's so important to have an integrated health system working together with our physicians. And that's another pride point for Capital Region. We had physician engagement scores of the 90th percentile or 82nd percentile. And that is, that's top decile in the country. And so we're super proud about that. But with that physician integration, you can do so much more for your facility as well as for your community. I think the other thing, we have an affiliation. We have a really special relationship with the University of Missouri. And so MU Healthcare, we're an affiliate of them. And so being a smaller rural hospital and having that access to academic medicine, as well as the ability to partner on a number of different projects with a larger academic health center, is certainly given us an edge. And I think the third thing would be, and this is, I think, constant whether you're in rural or in metro areas. I just came from the St. Louis area 6 years ago. Is you got to keep growing. Growth can be defined in a number of different ways. I mean, I think, the traditional way is, growing market share and doing things that continually put your organization in a position where it's on the cutting edge, where it's leading, where it's providing that confidence in our patients and in our community that they want to utilize your facility.
And it's really the oldest edge in the world that you're either going forward or you're going back. Very hard to stay static. So you got to be constantly trying to make improvements, and there's no way around that. I mean, just the reality of it, that's the way to succeed, because something's always going to be struggling. So you got to be making improvements just to keep up. Is my sense. Yes, let me ask you this question. Top priorities as CEO today, what do you view as your top three or so priorities?
Well, it's an interesting time, right? with the pandemic, I think every year, and I told our employees this earlier this year when we started our fiscal year, we are focused on, patient satisfaction, quality, the safety of our patients, our financial sustainability. Those are just kind of the must-haves. But this year is a little bit different, and I have three priorities this year that I told our team. First off is, more than three probably. We are in the process of an implementation of a new electronic health record, and that's so key. A lot of other institutions have gone through this. We went through it many, many years ago, but what's special about this particular implementation is that it's the same product and platform as the University of Missouri. And so MU Healthcare and Academic Health Center and our clinicians will all have access next year to the same electronic health record, our physicians, our nurses. And that can be a real game changer in the sense that, reducing cost, duplication, but also improving care by having better coordination. So that's one. Two is we are in the process of, and you mentioned growing, our OR, our operating rooms have hit capacity. And so we're in the process right now of expanding. And the project is an outpatient surgery center, which we believe not only is what our patients want, for those easier cases, the ease, the access, the satisfaction, if you will, but also will address our growth issues, as well as the pressures that we're feeling from a lot of managed care companies that are driving a lot of that business to the lower cost type of areas. And then I think, COVID is kind of the third area. We're continuing in our community to be a leader and to respond appropriately and provide that leadership to everybody. But the other piece that's really critical right now, and I know a lot of my colleagues out there are talking about the same thing, I don't want to say cliche, but the employee burnout. These COVID patients, for those caregivers that are taking care of them right now, are very taxing. They're taxing emotionally, in the sense that, you have a patient who comes into your facility walking upright, doing well. Their families can't see them because there's no visitors allowed. And then, 10 to 20 days later, they're talking to them about taking them off of a vent. Very difficult situation. And you couple that with all the personal pressures that everybody's kind of feeling during this pandemic, from, schooling your children to dealing with your families to, financial, burdens. We are putting resources into that effort and, trying to, we can't do what we do without our staff and without our teams here. And so it's really important that we take care of them.
Magnificent. And then so true. I mean, the staff and the burnout is, people sort of recover from the first wave. Now you've got a whole nother wave, it seems, coming, and staff, healthcare workers, everybody just a little bit exhausted trying to gear up for that. And then also, you not just the strain emotionally watching the patient, but worrying so much and having to worry always about their own health as well.
If correct.
You're dealing with an infectious disease and so forth. It's a very, very challenging situation.
Yeah. So, the burnout piece and the kind of the toll that it's taken on folks is one issue, but just having enough staff for this second wave, is challenging, and keeping our staff healthy, as you mentioned, but also gearing up for what, there's a lot of unknowns over the next couple of months here, but we're certainly preparing for that. We feel very fortunate that from a PPE standpoint, we're in very good shape. But, we need the people to take care of our community.
Yes. And Gaspar, you're having this great leadership career. A couple thoughts you would give to emerging leaders and what you would advise them or encourage them.
Another great question. As I like kind of reflect on my career, it was not the traditional path. I would encourage them to learn, to be open to new ideas. And, one of the things that I wish I would have done, early in my career was ask more questions. You shouldn't be embarrassed because you're not a clinician that you don't understand all these terms, et cetera. But, that was certainly something I would tell new leaders, take advantage of being new and not knowing, to ask questions and understand, because this is a super complex, industry that we're in. The other is, especially for administrators, is, the whole idea of management by walking around is powerful. I'm a great copier of other people's good ideas, and one idea that I stole from a friend of mine was, I I shadow or, kind of, the show, what's the show where the undercover boss, I'm not undercover, but I'll work in the ICU, I'll work in EVS, I'll work in other areas for a few hours, but work and visit with staff and understand how they do their work, what their challenges are, allows, I think, management to make better decisions, as especially now as we're dealing with a lot of critical issues. And I guess the last bit of advice I would have is never burn bridges. I started my career in St. Louis. It took me to Jefferson City back in the 1990s. I was lucky enough to meet my wife there. But I traveled again through my career, and guess where I'm at? I'm back in Jefferson City. And so a lot of those same people that I knew, 20 plus years ago, I've had the fortune of, kind of reuniting with some of them. And it's important to keep those great relationships.
Such great advice. Gasper, a pleasure visiting with you today. Continued good luck at Capital Region Medical Center. These health systems, these rural health systems, are so critical to everything in our country, our economy, our ecosystem, our social system, just like urban hospitals, so, so important. And we thank you for joining us and for what you do.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. And thank you for what you're doing as well. I can't tell you how, the Becker reports and what you provide is such great, quick information that is, I feel very, very informed every day. So thank you for what you're doing too.
Thank you. That's really a shout out to our editors in chief, Molly Gamble and team. Thank you very, very much.